friends. Welcome to the 51st episode of The Pulse. I am Shay Wilbur, media director here for Troy Brewer Ministries and all things within this house. Obviously, I am not Pastor Troy. I'm sitting in his seat. He is off to an undisclosed location on a much needed vacation. And today he's actually taking it. He's enjoying some downtime. So we'll have some ministry updates for you. We'll be updating you on all of the things happening within this house, including a new rescue, a 12-year-old little girl that I have some breaking information on, which is really exciting that we rescued a 12-year-old girl from human trafficking just over the past 2 weeks. But also, guys, I am so glad that you are here because this is going to be an awesome show. We have counterterrorism expert Lisa Daftari that's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. You have seen her on Fox News. She is a contributor there all the time. She's also Iranian herself. And let me just tell you, her perspective on this whole situation is mind-blowing. It is so smart. It is so well stated and well educated, and I cannot wait. I can't wait to just have her here so we can ask her all of the questions that we want to know. And of course, guys, if you have any questions right now of having to do with this conflict that's going on between Israel and Iran and our place as Americans in that conflict, please put them in the chat and I will be sure to try and get those asked to Lisa once she joins us. And also, of course, guys, let us know where you're watching from. Put that in the comments and we will give you a shout out in just a few moments. So before we get started, let's welcome the crew in house. It's so good to have Rebecca Tamayo, Pastor Chris. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. I'm really excited
for today. We've been talking about all this stuff like so much over the past, I mean, since it happened a couple of weeks now. And Chris, I know you have lots of questions for Lisa.
I do. I'm very curious. This is like, it's nice to get good intel. Because I think that's something like at least I struggle with. Because sometimes you go to one news source and you hear, hey, everything's fine. And you go to another one, everything's bad. And it's like, it's nice to have talk to somebody who is like in it, who can kind of speak to the situation.
Yeah. And let us know from just like, I mean, I see so many. I've been looking at our comments that we've been getting on social media and it's really split. Like some people are very like, quote unquote, America first. And I put quotes there because I disagree with their opinion of what America first is. Yeah. But some of the quote unquote America first people are saying like, we shouldn't even be involved in this. This isn't our problem. Mm. And that is exactly when I started seeing those comments. I'm going to be honest, is when I reached out to Lisa because I was like, they need to hear the reality of what this is because she's been talking about it for decades, the whole Iranian agenda. And that's what she's going to unpack for us. And what's interesting is Pastor Troy, you know, on his travels, if you guys have been following, Pastor Troy was just in D.C. recently. I think we have some pictures from it. And he actually got briefed by a counterterrorism expert there. And they what they told him was exactly what we're going to hear from Lisa today. And this is all what's going on with Iran and what we've seen in the headlines over the past year and a half. That's Waleed Faris. He's a counterterrorism expert. And he was briefing Pastor Troy and a bunch of the faith leaders there at the White House on Capitol Hill, just about the true agenda of Iran and how it relates to America. And I think Americans need to know that more than ever. And so I'm really excited for today's show. But we miss Pastor Troy.
I know we do. Yeah. I did text him. I'm like, we miss you,
buddy. I know.
We miss you, Pastor. Yeah.
We got to see. Hopefully you guys were able to jump on here. He did a last minute live yesterday, special edition of The Pulse.
So
and he was joined by Darren Stott, which is so really happy. Fun. They're off, you know, having fun. But listen, guys, like the work doesn't stop. And if you follow us, then you know that. We're still rescuing kids every single day from the horrors of human trafficking all over the world. We're still working on our safe homes, opening pregnancy centers, and supporting Israel. And that's one thing that I really want to make sure people know. When you support us, we are standing with Israel, especially in their time of need right now. We're literally sending tens of thousands of dollars to the front lines. So when you partner with us, guys, you partner with Israel. You are standing with Israel. So, Rebecca, why don't you just tell people real quick how they can get involved if they're kind of starting to hear about what we're doing and they're like, wow, I want to plug into these people.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to remind everybody, don't forget to comment, share, and also, that's how one way you get in the fight. I love what we say here at Open Door with TBM, with Spark Worldwide. We are being the hands and feet of Jesus. When you comment, when you share, when you repost, that is a way that you are being the hands and feet of Jesus and how you get in the fight. Also, we just want to remind everybody that is watching, if you need prayer, if you need just a word, I want to remind everyone, we have a call center 24/7. There are people waiting right now. It is not a robot. It is not a machine. These are real people that have been interceding, that have been fasting and are waiting for you to call in this times, like Shay was saying, of truth, what not to believe. You know what? I want to encourage you. If you've been feeling a little bit shaken, a little bit of uncertainty, call the number on the screen, 877-413-0888. And you know what? There is a word for you on that line. And also, we just want to just thank everybody that's watching us. Thank you for partnering with us. We love to say that the reason why we haven't rescued more, what is it saying that Troy, I just went blank.
Oh, we've rescued 11,000 kids. And yes. The only reason we haven't rescued 11,000 more is just because of the funds. So correct. We say yes and we do it, and we trust that the Lord's going to bring in the funds to do it. And he always does. So that's why, you know, we always like to talk about the work that we're doing across the globe.
Amen.
Because it really does not stop.
Yeah. So Chris, who's watching us right now? Yeah, who is tuning in?
Yeah. We want to say a special welcome to Max in Zimbabwe. He's watching. Also Charles in Cleburne. I feel like he's the first commenter every time we're on the Pulse. We also have Rachel in Tennessee, Kathy in Georgia, Monica in Arizona, and Tracy in Illinois. So welcome, guys. Thank you so much for letting us know and joining us today on The Pulse.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I had a fly away that I noticed that I was trying to fix it in my phone.
It's okay. We're good. And we got some new partners. Do we know exactly those names of who just joined us? We want to encourage everybody that's watching, partner with us. Let's save more children. Let's build more homes, more schools. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah. What are you waiting for? Like right now, as we're sitting here, there are literally thousands of kids all over the world who need rescuing. And you talk about an organization that knows how to do it, where to do it, how to work with local politicians, all those things. It's right here. So I want to say a very special welcome to our new Lifetime partners, Blake up in Washington, our Stage 2 partners, Cindy, Alexander, and Jasmine in Maryland.
That's awesome.
And also three new Stage 3 partners, Amy in Texas, Jonathan, California, and Helen in Missouri. Thank you guys for partnering with us. If you're watching today, hey, just go to odx.tv and get in the fight. Don't wait. There are kids that need you, they need me, and they need all of us to rescue them.
And if you join ODX, just want to remind everybody that is watching that you get full access to Pastor Troy's appearances, conferences, wherever he's at. We just did the Joseph Z conference. I'm not sure. Hopefully I'm not wrong, but it's just been uploaded.
Yes.
Yep. It is uploaded. I'm pretty sure Rev 17 will be popping up there. That is full access. If you couldn't be there, you get to see what God is doing. Also, you get to have access to all our conference. And Shay's going to break it down of what we're doing today. Some bundles.
Yes. Okay. So we have some giving bundles, guys. So these are special opportunities. If you feel the need to call in and give, if you give $50 today, you will get a book and a study guide along with that book. If you give $365, Pastor Troy was wanting to do that initiative. That's $1 a day. Okay, guys, $365, a book and two tickets to our New Beginnings conference. And in addition to that, a Stage 2 membership for a year. If you give $1,000, you will get 4 tickets to New Beginnings, a Stage 3 ODX for a year. And if you give $5,000, you will get a lifetime membership to ODX. But guys, these are exclusive to if you are watching live and call that number. So make sure you realize that if you're watching live and call the number, that opportunity is for you. And we are so excited to have you. And let me just I want to bring Lisa in because I don't want the show to get away from us without bringing her in. But really quick, let me just tell you a little bit about this 12-year-old girl that we recently rescued. A lot of the details to her story we can't make public yet. But this is a 12-year-old girl who was lured away by a 20-year-old male. She thought she was in a relationship with him online. This was in another country. This was not here in America, but he basically obtained so much information and had built a relationship with her that he lured her away. And authorities were notified. No one was able to find her. And then finally, they did find her. Authorities were able to locate her. And she is now in our care and she is safe. Praise the Lord that she is. And they are still working to find the guy who lured her away, her trafficker. Wow. And that's a big part of what we do is we don't just save the kids and then say, okay, great, they're saved. They're safe. We're good. Not only do we raise them, we rescue them when we raise them, but we also prosecute those who are doing wrong, whether it's the crime rings themselves or whether it's individuals. So we are going after this guy, and I'm so happy to say, and we partner with authorities to do so. And that is just one story, guys. And when we say yes to someone, that is $1,200 a month around that it costs to support that rescue. So just know that and how can you say no when you hear, okay, hey, when the authorities come to us and we have a 12-year-old girl, can you guys take her in? Yes, mm-hmm. Of course we can. Absolutely. Of course we can. So, man, it's just so exciting to see that the work of the Lord continues, our work continues, and in the midst of all the craziness that's happening in the world. And so today we're going to really dive into that. If you're like me, I feel like I've had whiplash in the headlines lately. I'm like, yay, we have a ceasefire deal. I think that's a good thing. And then all of a sudden, no, we don't. And then all of a sudden, Trump is, you know, basically having to be bleeped out, making statements about Israel on the news this morning. And I'm like, what is happening? I feel like we could not have our guest on here at a better time. And man, let me just tell you guys. Okay, so Lisa Daftari, she is the founder and editor-in-chief of the Foreign Desk News. She is a counterterrorism expert. She's a regular contributor to Fox News, guys, and a bunch of the other networks. You're going to see her and you're going to be like, oh, she looks familiar, because you've definitely seen her on your TV screens. And she is taking time out of her day in between all of her news hits to join The Pulse today for a few moments. Guys, let's welcome Lisa Daftari. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Really excited to be with you guys today.
Man, it is so good to see you, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, first of all, I told you when you first jumped on here before the show that, like, I had a line of questioning, and then this morning happened, and I feel like everything shifted. I'm like, I've got whiplash. Can you update us on what happened just in the past, like, 24 hours on the situation?
Sure. So yeah, the past 10 days, each day has been like years in terms of Middle East history, and moving very, very quickly and changing very quickly. So very abruptly yesterday, we heard that there will be a ceasefire. This was announced by Donald Trump. He said both the Iran regime and Israel were on board for a ceasefire minutes, and I should say hours, but really minutes. It became almost like this MMA fight where they were just trying to get in their last punches. And of course, after the ceasefire was announced, the Iran regime hit Beersheba, a building where I think 5 to 8 civilians were killed, all young. Horrific when you look at the ages. I know there's a 40-year-old, a 20-year-old. Really horrific, horrific news that came out of that. And Bibi's position and Israel's position after this strike was that, yes, we did agree to a ceasefire, but we do reserve the right to retaliate when that ceasefire is broken. And again, you know, that is Israel's duty, is to defend and protect its national security. And the reason that they even began with these very, very targeted strikes on military and nuclear assets inside Iran was because of that existential threat. And because for 46 years, the Iran regime has very duplicitously built its weapons program, put money into the proxies that target Israel in the region, and has been, you know, turning off its surveillance cameras, rejecting the IAEA nuclear inspectors that come in. So, you know, Israel, security is a 24/7 job. It's not something that they, you know, can be whimsical about. And right now, if they believe that A, it's the golden opportunity and a moment for them to truly do away with the threat that is the Iran regime, and B, to you know, retaliate and not leave any residual. Any residual in their nuclear program will mean that the Iran regime will take a pause and rebuild. It's not something where they want to kick the can down the road and deal with this problem again later. Again, this is a golden opportunity for Israel, and something that the United States should absolutely support.
Yeah. So then what are your thoughts on Donald Trump's quote this morning, where he was kind of giving, like, Israel, he was telling Israel essentially what to do, like, you better not retaliate. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that situation?
So I've always said this, and I've written about that, the daylight that's created between the whoever is in the White House, whether it's Republican, Democrat, whomever that is, and Israel, whenever there's daylight created, that is a loss for both countries. That is a threat for both countries. It doesn't look good to our friends. It doesn't look good to our enemies. Of course, I would prefer that Donald Trump did not call out Bibi when we know that they were on the same page with regards to this campaign. I would prefer that he didn't use the F word when talking about what Israel is doing, and actually would defend and protect, you know, this allyship publicly. And we know how important that is. But we also know that Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And I would rather focus on the fact that Donald Trump's bottom line in all of this is that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That being said, if we do go forward and that there is intel that there is further activity, whether they're picking up their nuclear program, whether there is activity with their proxies, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, then Israel absolutely reserves the right. And I think that Donald Trump would be on board with that because of his bottom have a nuclear weapon.
So there are so many that say, and I've seen it. I mean, we've seen the Candace Owens, the Tucker Carlsons, you know, that are very America first. And again, I say that in quotes because I don't believe they actually are America first. But to those who would say this new narrative of we shouldn't be involved in this war, this isn't our war, we shouldn't have attacked Fordow and Natanz and the various sites in the Middle East, what would you say to that? Knowing what you know, because you are not only Iranian, but you've been a counterterrorism expert for years. So you have been well aware of this situation way before we saw this in the headlines.
Absolutely. And I've been saying this for years. If there's one thing you take away from this conversation, and especially, I say this especially when I address congregations, people of faith, people who believe in the Bible and what it says about supporting the state of Israel, I especially am speaking to you. We do not just support Israel because of what it says in the Bible. We don't just support Israel because we think it's the right thing to do. Israel is not a charity case of the United States. As a matter of fact, we support Israel because they are a strategic ally. It's called political science. It is a science. We are in alignment with Israel, our only democratic ally in the Middle East. They do as much for us as we do for them. We do not just write them aid checks like charity checks. We write them aid checks because they help us with intel. They help us with joint campaigns like the one we actually saw in Iran. And now let's move on to the Iran threat. Isolationism is not America first. And I'll
No.
say that again. Isolationism is not America first. The Iran regime is a core national security threat to America and our assets and the American people. The Iran regime, for 46 years, they came into power and they called America the big Satan and Israel, our pet project, the little Satan. So they have had their animosity. They have called us an enemy from day one. They have American blood on their hands. Think about all the attacks we had on our American embassies in the region. Want to talk about the Houthis? You want to talk about Hezbollah, Hamas? Talk about all of the operatives that have come in through our southern border. How about their propaganda campaigns that have been unleashed on American soil for years, undetected? Look at the recent protests we had on college campuses. If you look at the lobbies that were invited to freely go into the White House under Biden and Obama, these are propaganda campaigns. They're soft power campaigns that have strategically been launched on the United States. So, absent Israel, we have our own issues with Iran's regime. We got involved because we saw the moment was ripe. Israel had done 70, maybe 80% of the job. They needed our help with Fardo and Isfahan, and we added Natanz to the list, but Fardo being the most challenging, Isfahan being a second in line. The Iran regime has 12 nuclear sites. The way that they have strategically created these sites is because they knew a day like this would come where Israel or the United States would try to take out their nuclear assets. And they did it in a way that would be quite challenging. Underground, 13 feet walls, concrete walls where you can't get through. And the United States saw this as an opportunity. This is not warmongering. We are not talking about boots on the ground. People lied to the American people. Cable news shows were just filled with lies and conspiracy theories about how this would lead to World War III and how we're asking for boots on the ground and this is going to be a forever war. It wasn't a forever war. And again, I just want to reiterate the point. This is just as much our problem as it is Israel's. And Israel is as much of a strategic partner for us as we are to them. So this is something that has been lost in the mainstream media. You don't hear it because of voices like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, who I don't even want to mention their names because they should not be the voices that are leading the charge on these very, very important foreign policy issues.
Yeah, I agree. It honestly, like, I now just skip past it because it infuriates me when I see clips of them. I can't even handle it because it gets me so upset. You mentioned one thing when you were just talking, and I want to dive into that more because it's something that you told me about this like 10 years ago, before this was even something that was relevant to now. But you talk about the Iranian agenda and how they have over years and decades and decades worked to infiltrate our education system. And we saw the past year and a half what happened on college campuses across our country. And we're so many of us are scratching our heads thinking, how could this ideology have taken over so much? And so talk about that and how that has been part of the plan. And this is not just like, oh, people are jumping on a ship or jumping on a narrative in the moment. Like, no, these seeds have been planted for decades. And this was intentionally done by Iran.
Absolutely. Strategically done and well executed here on American soil because of our naivete, the left's obsession with otherism. And of course, we see the hypocrisies. You're seeing LGBTQ groups, you're seeing women's groups, you're seeing college educated women and men and minorities out on the streets that are actually promoting the Islamic Republic, where gays are hanged, where women, yep, if they show their hair, they get killed, beaten to death, thrown into prison, yep, maimed, the acid poured on their faces, you name it. And they are defending them. Why? Because America's bad, because our history is flawed, because we are racist, because we're the ones who are homophobic. And it just goes on, and it is so backwards. But imagine how well this whole campaign has been executed to brainwash the masses in such a way. Yeah. They pay, they organize. Like, we knew that the college encampments, for example, I mean, people watching kind of were skeptical. Why are all their tents matching? How do they have all these? It looked like a Home Depot exploded on the lawns of these campuses. How do they have all this equipment? Well, there is money behind it. And that money is being used to brainwash people, to bring them over to their causes. And now you have Ivy League educated men and women, young men and women who should be out looking for a job and the next internship, that instead are promoting terrorists. Yep. I mean, it makes no sense, but that's how well executed this plan and plot has been for years.
Yeah, it's crazy to see the spillover. Because, you know, again, like, you've been talking about it for years, and now we're actually seeing what that looks like, what that intentionality looks like. So I want to know more about, you know, we've heard about sleeper cells and things like that. So, okay, let's just say the ceasefire thing happens, and obviously Iran's nuclear capability has prayerfully been, like, drastically weakened. I say that because, you know, part of me also thinks, like, we don't know what we don't know, but, you know, we've heard a lot of talk about, okay, what would their next plan of attack be? Could something like October 7th happen in the States? I'm curious to know your take on that and what, as Americans, we might be in for or should be looking out for or in prayer for.
Right. So that was the major concern, is that what percent did we really diminish their nuclear capability by, and what percent remains? And, you know, obviously Israel and Trump's administration, their bottom line was zero, right? They have to be at zero. Now, if there is residual, they will start to build up again. The reason we saw October 7th is because the Biden administration not only removed very vital sanctions off of Iran's regime, which allowed them to rake in north of $100 billion in oil sales to rogue nations like China and Venezuela and North Korea. They sold weapons to Russia, for example. I mean, that was one of the main reasons, is that we not only removed sanctions, but we also gave them billions of dollars in back pay from the assets that were unfrozen. So horrific, horrific decision to give money to a rogue and terroristic regime that has, you know, the agenda to take Israel off the map and to take the United States, frankly, off the map if they could. They obviously could reach American assets, like we saw the Houthis shooting at American assets in the Red Sea. So yes, they are and have been the number one state sponsor of terror. They export terrorism. That's their number one export, and they continue to do that. So how can we prevent against this? Well, we need to obviously be watching their nuclear proliferation or any sort of activity that will increase their weapons portfolio, and B, the sanctions have to come back into place. So under the first Trump administration, we saw the maximum pressure campaign that was quite effective. We saw, I did a story, I remember, for Fox News back in the day about how Hezbollah actually had charity boxes in Lebanese supermarkets because they were completely bankrupt. The checks weren't coming in from Tehran. Wow. And they could not do what they do. Now, fast forward to October 7th, they were well endowed with 150,000 missiles to point at Israel. So There are lines to connect here, and there are consequences to American foreign policy decisions that are made on a whim, like we saw under the last administration. That being said, we do hope that now that Donald Trump wants to end this war very abruptly, many people believe that it was too abruptly. We also have to understand that he's going into NATO. He doesn't want to have this war on his resume going into NATO. He wants this to be done. He wants to have that kind of accomplishment that is now basically scotch taped together going into NATO and saying, I ended this war in 12 days. You know, that being said, well, he's got to go back to the maximum pressure campaign. That is the only way. He alluded to regime change for the Iranian people. The only way they will have a chance at regime change is if the United States and the Western world cooperates by putting this regime under pressure. I do believe, I don't want to confuse the points here. I do believe that regime change has to be at the hands of the Iranian people. This is not something we can import. But at the very same time, we need to create an environment that is ripe for regime change, and that is sanctions and economic pressure and isolating them and not allowing them to sell oil, not allowing them to get their weapons and to really drive them to the point where the Iranian people have a chance to stand up.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear listening to you even explain that I mean, you barely even mentioned Israel in that. So this is right. Yeah, this is an issue for us.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. And that's something that I've actually focused on a lot in my work is that, you know, for some awful reason, many people in the world are anti-Semitic. And when they hear the word Israel, they become triggered. I was just in Paris when this war broke out, and I saw a Pahlavi, Reza Pahlavi is the exiled prince of Iran. So it's basically a throwback to the 70s. It's saying, you know, then the flag was the old flag of Iran. So it was a pro-Iran meaning for regime change. And then they also had Israeli flags and thanking Bibi for the strikes. This is before the United States intervened. And, you know, you see these Parisian young, you know, leftists passing by, and they get triggered by seeing the Israeli flag. I mean, they see the Iranian people, and none of them were Jewish or Israeli. You see the Iranian people who are having a protest. They're calling for regime change, and that's all fine and dandy. But all of a sudden, when you see these French people see the Israeli flag, they become all triggered. And now they stop and start arguing with these Iranians about why they're having this protest.
Yep. Mm.
Because of that, we need to just compartmentalize and say, if we care about Israel's security, and we care about the United States' security, we need to only focus on the part of the narrative that talks about the Iran regime being a threat to the entire Western world, including the Europeans, including the United States, and why we need to get involved because of our core national security, not as a favor to Israel.
I love that. I love that you said Israel's not a charity case. Like it's so true. It's so true. And I love that perspective. Rebecca, I know you had a question.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa, for joining us. And it's honestly an honor to have you and have a voice that the truth is coming out and I'm being educated and learning. So thank you. So I have a question. What about the Iranian people? What do the Iranian people feel about everything that is happening right now?
You know, there's a lot of different voices coming out of Iran right now. But for someone who's covered this movement for 20 some odd years and watching the evolution of the Iranian people. So more than 80% of the public, and I would say that number is higher because it's very hard to get an honest poll out of Iran, but let's say majority, so 82-83% of the population are disenchanted with this government. And over the last 10 years or so, we have seen, or more, I should say, really started in 2009 with the Green Revolution. That revolution started out as a protest against an election. It was called the Twitter revolution, because all of a sudden you saw these Iranians coming out onto the streets, telling us their stories. And then the world became acquainted with the Iranian people. Oh, they don't ride on camels. They don't sit on the floor when they eat. And they actually look cool. And they have gel in their hair. And they like designer brands. And look at them. They want their freedoms, right?
Yeah.
So that was their foray onto the international stage, which was a nice thing. But we also saw the evolution. They first came out and said, we want reforms. And all of a sudden, that message changed into forget reforms. This regime is not capable of reforms. We want the entire regime gone. And then we got into protests that followed that were more about regime change. Fast forward until a couple of years ago, we saw the Mahsa Amini protests, which were over the death of the 22-year-old girl who was beaten to death because her hijab was further back on her head and was showing a bit of her hair.
Yeah.
That protests. We saw even in clerical cities. We saw in more religious and, you know, right-leaning conservative cities, which are usually with the government. Even in those cities, we saw protests. So it became clear that the majority of the country wanted this regime gone. Now, fast forward to the Israeli strikes. We saw protests in the United States and inside Iran that were celebrating, that were dancing in the streets and thanking Bibi for his very targeted strikes on these nuclear and military assets, because it was a direct message to the regime, trying not to hurt the people. Of course, many people, you know, don't want war on their soil. It was it was jarring, right? You're seeing bombs overhead. They don't have proper bomb shelters. They don't have any protection from the government. If anything, the government shut down their internet, shut down their electricity, so they couldn't organize. They couldn't come out onto the streets. They couldn't tell people about what was going on with the internet communication to get their stories out. So, you know, it's a complicated story to tell, because the Iranian people, as much as they want regime change, they just don't know how they will get that regime change. It's very easy to say, well, come out onto the streets now that Israel bombed a few of these sites and kind of defanged the regime from their nuclear capabilities. Now we want people out onto the streets. Well, it's not that easy. They have anti-riot police in place. They have the besieged forces, which are like the thugs of the regime. They have been on alert for the last 3-4 days that if anyone comes out onto the streets, it's zero tolerance. They will be, there will be severe consequences. So, I mean, it's very difficult. The Iranian people want regime change. They were, the quote I saw, someone said this online, and I think it's very appropriate. They said, it's not that we're celebrating war, because that's just silly. We're not celebrating war, but we are celebrating the deaths of those who killed our children. And I think it's very telling and a very complex feeling to have to actually want war against your government, because you want freedom from your government.
Yeah. On one of our episodes, I think it was last week, someone asked in the question, so is Israel trying to conquer Iran? And I'm like, actually, no, Israel is working to liberate the people of Iran. And that's why you're seeing, and you don't see it, unfortunately, across many of the headlines, but the rejoicing in the streets and the spray paint on the buildings, like, we're with you, Israel, as Israel has done everything that they can to carry out targeted attacks in Iran that will minimize all civilian casualties, which is something the Israeli army does, even in Gaza, they did this, but especially in Iran, they did what they could to really target, and they have done that really well, the way that they have targeted the military and things like that. So listen, we're going to go what we call behind the veil, Lisa, which basically means that for everyone who's watching on YouTube and Facebook, we're going to go off of there, but we're going to go on to our platform, which is odx.tv. And that's where we can talk to you and know that we will not get flagged for anything. And we can, it's basically behind our paywall, and we can really talk even more in depth about stuff. And ask you more questions. We've had some viewer questions that have been really, really good that have come in. And I know Pastor Chris, who's in here, he has some questions for you that you want to just tease what you want to ask her behind once we go behind the veil.
Yeah, once we get behind the veil, Lisa, I've got some questions for you. I feel like I'm normal. Like Shay is like super into this, and I'm like just a Gentile bacon eating.
Oh my gosh, stop.
This is all like I'm asking a lot of questions and trying. I'm trying to understand exactly. But my question for you, Lisa, is what's missing from the headlines? I really would love to hear like some great news sources, because it's like, I said it at the top of the show, like sometimes like you listen to one channel, you hear one thing, you listen to another, you hear another, like, and always where's the truth? Where do you kind of get your intel from? I'm curious about those questions. I can't wait to ask you about that once we get behind the veil.
Cool.
Looking.
Yeah. So Lisa, I know you are on a time crunch, so we won't take too much of your time when we go behind the veil, but we will basically put you on hold for about 2 minutes while we wrap this, and then we'll bring you back in to ask you those questions. Are you good with that?
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us so far. And guys, if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, make sure you jump on over right now. It'll be the perfect time to join us on odx.tv. That is our online platform, guys. And if you want to know more information about what we do here within this house, not just standing with Israel, but also rescuing kids from the horrors of human trafficking, go to troybrewer.com. You can also call the number on your screen, 877 413-0888, and you can mail snail mail to the address there on your screen. I know a lot of people still use it, so we put it up there, guys. And we have so much going on within this house. Tomorrow night at church, we have Pastor Ryan speaking.
Yes, it's going to be family night, so yes. We're so excited. So tune in, to bring your children online.
We got all the VBS stuff up too.
Yes, yep. It is a full week. Also, we have Tony Merkel joining us tomorrow
on the
Pulse. We are so excited to see also what God is speaking to him and through him. And also, let's not forget to pray for Pastor Troy and Pastor Leanna as they take the sabbatical. And we are so happy you did that, but we miss you.
Yes.
If you're watching Pastor, right now,
we miss you and we love you so much. And as we go behind the veil, guys, if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, the program will end there. But we're going to continue on ODX.TV in just a moment. As we wrap, though, I want to show you a little commercial that just speaks to the work that we do here in this house. Check this out.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.